Australian comedies Summer Heights High, Jonah from Tonga, as well as other shows have been removed from Netflix after criticisms of black and brown faced characters. Around the world, similar actions have taken place, with Little Britain, Cops, Live PD all being taken down from their respective networks. The Black Lives Matter protests have brought to light rhetoric about how TV shows and films can cross a line with their depictions of race. Joining us now to discuss further is Dr. Lauren Rosewarne, Senior Lecturer in the School of Social and Political Sciences from the University of Melbourne. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So how has pressure been building in recent times around the removal of these programs?
Look, I mean, this is certainly not the first time we've seen these calls, and I actually think there's been some disingenuous conversation of late as though the Chris Lilley material wasn't offensive at the time it came out, because the key difference there was we didn't have the social media environment we have now. People were upset even then. So this idea as though this is a new problem for Australia, in fact, we've been talking about this stuff for a really, really long time. It's just that it's come to a bit of a head at the moment. And also you're seeing streaming services have greater power in this space than we ever saw sort of networks exert.
And what have we seen, what have been the reactions from creators?
Look, creators have been, it's a bit of a mix. I think if you have a look at, say, the approach from the Little Britain team, David Williams and Matt Lucas, they've been apologetic for the blackface and brownface portrayals in their show. If you have a look at someone like the creator of Fawlty Towers, where his presentation wasn't about blackface, but there was certainly racist references to the West Indies cricket team, he's actually seeing this as a kind of political correctness gone awry type of approach. So there's a diverse range of reactions by artists and creators.
And there has been a wide removal and spate of programs being removed from services over the past week. Has the message been consistent across streaming services around the removal of these programs?
Well, in the sense that I guess my lack of seeing this as a massive deal. Programs come and go off streaming services all the time. You know, I don't think, for example, there was that many people who were desperate to watch, you know, an 80-year-old Gone with the Wind on HBO Max, which is a sort of pretty new streaming service. Equally, Netflix has taken off some of the Chris Lilley material, but they're not, you know, certainly in the case of Gone with the Wind, HBO's comments were, we'll review the situation in a while, meaning this isn't any kind of permanent decision. It's about reflecting the moment we're in right now and adjusting the catalogue accordingly. It's not some sort of revolution the way people are talking about, as though history and pop culture, our pop culture pasts, are somehow being destroyed.
And on that note, what sort of shift have we seen in the way we view and discuss television in the past decade or two, especially since some of these programs aired, like Little Britain and The Mighty Boosh?
Look, I think it's not just in the past two decades. Historically, since the invention of, you know, any media, you know, even dating back to radio, humans have had this belief that popular culture and media messages are powerful. Now, even though most researchers would actually say their power is very, very, very limited, nonetheless, every era we seem to be very, very hyper-concerned what's in our popular culture. Whether at the moment it's we're concerned about race, or a couple of years ago we were more concerned about gender and sexuality, you know, this changes over time. 20 years ago we were super concerned about violence in film and TV. We were also concerned about violence in film in the 40s. It comes and goes because it's driven by a belief that the things that we entertain ourselves with have some impact on our values and on how we act. I'd, as a media researcher, would say it's a limited impact, but nonetheless, it's a very potent belief by the public that we need to be concerned about what we consume as related to media.
Speaking with Dr. Lauren Rosewarne, Senior Lecturer at the School of Social and Political Sciences from the University of Melbourne, about changing sentiment towards racially problematic content. Now, we mentioned this already about Matt Lucas and David Williams, the creators of Little Britain, made remarks over the weekend about the regret they had over their blackface and brownface characters. Could the removal of their work and also the, you know, the sensation around it have an impact on these creators who are still working in their ability to work in the future?
Oh, that's a tricky one. I guess because they've been apologetic in the case that you mentioned, I think that helps. I think, though, this is one of the things which, I guess this is the, you know, classic illustration of capitalism. The market decides, you know. They can make a show and it can go on a streaming service or it can go online or, you know, on a broadcast network. And if people want to purchase it in the sense of giving their eyeballs, giving their time to it, then they've been forgiven. If not, they haven't. And we've seen this, you know, Me Too really put a spotlight on this in terms of characters or creators that we decided that, yep, we've had enough of that versus people that we chose to forgive. And part of forgiveness is not just about saying sorry in a tweet, but showing that my material going forward will be different. And that's, I think, the sort of wait and see aspect of this.
And there has been despair from people at the removal of these programs. They've sort of equated it to censorship. Might we see a new home for these types of programs that are now firmly viewed as problematic?
Look, I mean, the CNN, for example, reported that over the weekend, Amazon had actually noted a spike in sales of Gone with the Wind on DVD. So these items are still available to us should we be desperate to watch those presentations. They're not going anywhere. You know, you can still buy them if you're desperate for them. The thing is, I think that there's not going to be a streaming service that, you know, markets itself on too racist for all the other streaming services. I think that's probably not a successful marketing strategy in 2020. We host all of the forbidden content that no other network wants to touch at the moment. But I suspect that this is not necessarily going to be how the race debate or topic is framed forever, in the sense we'll exhaust ourselves talking about old popular culture and be more interested in what's current and what's being produced at the moment.
Now, certain types of television being created today is certainly no less confronting as it could have been in the past. The types of programs we celebrate now, as well as Height, have changed significantly in recent years. How might this continue to sort of shape the way stories are told, particularly around tricky topics?
Yeah, look, this is tricky because I think, you know, there's people who are making TV now who've been making TV for 40 years and who have this perception that they know what works and are continuing to do it. Same with film, you know. The difference, I guess, is that, you know, are presentations today as egregious as some of the presentations of slavery in Gone with the Wind, let's say? No, probably not. But racism, sexism, you know, homophobia, transphobia is done differently today. And I imagine that in time, in 20 years, some of today's presentations are also going to be problematic. So it's not so much about, at least from my perspective, line item going through in our entire pop culture catalogue and identifying what we accept and what we don't, because there'll be disagreement there. What I do think, though, is that you're going to see, hopefully, the streaming services push and put money behind minority and marginalised people to make their own content. So therefore, they're in control of how they're presented, and I think that's more important than going through and sort of curating carefully the catalogues of streaming platform.
Well, Lauren, thank you so much for speaking with us and putting some perspective on some of the sensationalisation we've seen around these discussions.
Any time at all. Thank you and good morning.
Dr. Lauren Rosewarne there, Senior Lecturer in the School of Social and Political Sciences from the University of Melbourne, speaking about the changing sentiment towards racially problematic content on streaming services.